you're rich, you're just rich, you probably need more money because you need to like power your way into shit. Mm-hmm. You're famous, you don't really pay for shit. You just go, I'm Eddie Murphy. And people just...
They walk in Cat's Delicatessen, they get mad free briskets and shit.
Eat free brisket.
Being pastrami, I mean, not brisket, but pastrami.
Pastrami and corned beef, nigga. These niggas feasting.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send a Link, where we analyze the latest speeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-caps and co-pilot and co-cozy homebody, DJ Dollars. DJ, looking real comfortable over here today.
Ah, yes, nothing but the finest robes and linens over here.
Satins, silks.
Fowlered prints.
Fowlered prints, if you're not aware, a geometric circle pattern. You've seen it.
Yeah, you know, learn something new every day.
Well, we always have to big up DJ's fashion sense, even if it's home chic, as we like to call it.
Of course. But nah, man, got to big you up. Where have you been? Where have we been? Yeah. How long has it been?
Yeah, it's been a minute. You know, recently, shout out to Nick out in the gang. Someone asked me, like, where's the podcast? I listen to all the pods. I was like,
the fiends are out there.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I was slipping. So I'll be back with the jump off.
I mean, as I've said before, we are men about town. If we're not giving you these latest feeds and reads and commentary on the weekly basis, that means niggas are busy.
But are.
I think the through line between this ep is niggas are back.
Niggas are back.
You need like a sound effect or something. I don't know if you're going to go back and post.
Whoop!
No, I was thinking of the fucking the Stone Cold glass break.
Is that return noise?
Yeah. Ooh, that was funny.
I don't know if I want to return in that voracious fashion.
Oh, how do you want to come back?
I'd rather have D'Lo Brown, his theme.
What was his theme?
He goes, looking at the real deal now. Whoop! That's how it goes. It's fire. It's fire.
Maybe we find that in post.
D'Lo Brown, shout out. Yeah, but you know, we took some time because I have been gone. I have been gallivanting.
Yes, you have been
gone. Yeah, and you know, if you listen to this podcast and you're a regular listener, as I'm sure you are, you know it's usually DJ somewhere flexing. You know, you're not keeping a honey.
Do what I can.
You know, a little bit. Silk robes and international trips and all that. You know. a man about town. But I was gone for the past 10 days and then about a week of suffering from jet lag. And I was in South Africa, so I'm back. I'm back. I went to the continent. You get there, you know, you got crying and shit. Like, I am home.
Would you kiss the ground or whatever?
Kiss the ground and return home.
All right, South Africa doesn't count.
It doesn't, so I didn't.
Do okay,
that. Right. It's not home. That's like West Africa. You got to go there and shit, get malaria. It's real. You got to...
Yeah, you gotta soak it up.
Delicioso. So
you gotta get kidnapped, Nigeria and shit.
I know, right? Niggas, but where's the money? Like, I don't have any. Damn, broke ass American. But yeah, like it was a good trip. It was interesting to, first of all, fly for that long. Like I've had long flights before, but I would say that was the longest two flights I've ever been on. So
did you take sleeping pills or anything of that? To that
I effect? Did not sleep either way. So that's 15 hours basically straight. Maybe a nod off for, you know, I don't know, 32 minutes or something like that. But
oh, wow. So how many movies did you watch?
I watched a shit ton of movies. I watched a whole bunch of, like, I went through some podcasts, got Spider-Man in, got Toy Story in, got... Stuber. I didn't want to see that. Watched the entire season of Big Mouth. I'm, you know, I got a lot.
Damn, the entire season of Big Mouth. Oh, you could watch Big Mouth on the plane. Usually you have shout it like edited.
Shout out to this Netflix ad. No, it was on my phone.
Oh, okay.
And, okay, here's a tale for all you travelers. So a lot of times when you travel internationally, you think, oh, it's international flights. I mean, 7-8 hours at least. They'll have Wi-Fi. They'll have chargers.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Oh shit!
Whatsoever.
Who you find? Spirit International?
No, South African Airways. And I saw, you know, passing first class that them niggas had it, but we ain't have it.
Yeah.
So I had my headrest, and I was like, all right, I gotta ration out this 52% battery on my phone for 15 hours.
God damn.
So I was able to do it. I figured it out pretty well.
Did you get a seatbelt at least?
I got a seatbelt.
Oh, okay.
I got my free wine and everything like that. Oh, you know? Yes, okay. So, you know, traveler's guide. Drink the wine early in the game so you can fall asleep and be disoriented. So you fall asleep and you're like, oh, it's been 4 hours. And then you're already 4 hours deep and you can, you know, get your viewing.
You can just be a little less miserable.
Yeah, just to have that, get that out of the way. Go to Neverland real quick and come back. Mm-hmm. So was able to do that and to, you know, first time being on the continent, regardless if it was home or not, and see sort of the vast disparities, you know, that exist. You know, it exists in this country, clearly. Yeah. But there, it's just so much more stark. Having visited Johannesburg and Cape Town, Cape Town just basically feels like this white colony place in Africa. And you see the townships. That was a crazy experience. And even sort of the modern issues. Like, we went to the largest project in South Africa and then hear the story about that. 55 stories, pointy tower in Johannesburg. And it's shaped like a ring. So the history of it was built for white people. Apartheid happened. White people moved away. Black people moved in. But it was, like, in disrepair. So they would throw trash into the center of the building because it's ring-shaped. Mm-hmm. It would pile up 14 stories to the point where they had to, like, take it out. People would commit suicide off the building. They had all these crazy stories about this place. And that was, like, part of the tour. They told us the history of it. And it was pretty crazy. But all the people were really good. You'd see the way the sort of community works and people are really friendly and helpful. The city, staying in the Airbnb, like in the downtown, super nice. Mm-hmm. But they had this Airbnb that was really jacuzzi and all these things. And then not that affordable. It was pretty affordable, but the area wasn't nice. And people would tell us, like, we're staying where in Johannesburg? We're staying downtown. And the services, you would see garbage on the street and just like mess. And then you get outside in the suburbs, and it's like so pristine, more pristine than the stuff that, you know, in New York. We're used to being amongst the people here, and even the nice neighborhoods, you know, you can walk a block and it got real. There's bums. Bums can find their way in this shit.
Yeah.
In New York, you can't maneuver like that there. Mm. So that was an interesting takeaway. And I was able to see some protests and stuff like that. They had the people in these township communities outside the city to the point where if you travel outside the city, and the roads are really good actually there, and you go out, they would block the roads with, like, stones or things like that. And that was their method of protest. And we would see, like, the government moving on these protesters. Like, they got cops and shit with guns. And, like, it was just kind of, like, a lot of variable responses to sort of issues you would see here and how they're handled there. And that was a pretty intense experience. And then the race issue, it's floating over everything. Even though there's so many more black people there than white people, it's just, like,
but white people are, like, significant, like, just exponentially more wealthy, right?
And they're just prominent, like, especially in Cape Town, Johannesburg. Like, there's a lot more wealthy black people there. I was able to see, like, the wealthy areas versus the townships. And that's one big thing I took away from the trip, this idea of, like, the township, where they, outside, they built these areas that are supposed to be for black people, initially just to be workers. And now they have these own communities, but you have, like, the shacks and the stuff you see in the movies, the District 9 stuff. They actually shot part of District 9 in that crazy tower. And some other stuff, but they that aesthetic of these shacks and the places people were living and stuff like that shit is real. We went into those shits. They have, like, all the crazy power hookups with, like, all kinds of shit plugged in, like a bed and just a basic subsistence living. But on the flip side, when I got back, I thought to myself, I didn't really see anybody that was homeless though. People had the shacks and shit, but they weren't sleeping on the street like they are here. So it was, like, an interesting dynamic to how do you handle stuff like that, because the government was building those.
Okay. Yeah, different types or different shapes of societal ills or whatever. But but the debate, like, the main through line of political unrest there rests in the massive disparity in wealth and land, right?
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you've heard, like, the whole backstory about, like, the black people reclaiming their land, and that was an issue. And in Cape Town, actually, there was a refugee crisis. Apparently, I was walking through the streets and literally stumbled across, like, a refugee camp in the middle of the city.
Okay.
And they're like, you know, from other African countries, people had come there,
and they want services or work or something, and then just camped out in the middle of this place, 200-300 people.
Damn.
And it was just like, wow. Cape Town was just absurd with, there's like a marina and all these different like places for people to be. And I know our Airbnb was so flexy, and I was like, wow, there's people in the block, three streets from here that are just like living on the road. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot to deal with, but I mean, a beautiful place, beautiful people, and kind of a really breathtaking experience. You know, all those touristy shit, animals, climbing the mountains and meeting people, and I'd recommend it, you know, I'd recommend it. If you're willing to, you know, endure a 15-hour flight.
All right, what exactly did you go for again? Or was it just a travel vacation?
I went to just travel, but I ended up actually shooting some stuff for a South African basketball documentary.
Ooh.
So I was able to meet a lot of people from that community and go to some different places and see what it's like there. And like, you know, if you ever want to hoop under the base of a mountain, you're like, oh, shit, this is litty, like... It's a great experience. It's, you know, it's the same everywhere. Even the Nets Navy's out there. Nets Navy's out there. The young kids got the Kyrie jerseys.
We see y'all.
We see y'all, Nets Navy. So, yeah, it was a crazy story. One of my guys I met on one of these courts, like, randomly offered me up that he got stabbed. That was, like, a crazy experience. Mm. I was like, you know, I'm just talking to people about it. He's like, yeah, bro, I used to hoop and... You know, I got caught up. These niggas lifted his shirt.
He got caught up. He got stabbed while he was hooping?
I don't know the backstory, but he just, oh, I was shit. Like, damn, man. Sorry, dog.
Over there.
She got crazy. Got brazy.
That's what they say. Well, how was it, what were the American exports, whether physical or cultural? What effects did you see from here affecting over there besides the Nets Navy, obviously?
Well, besides the Nets Navy, the most powerful cultural export that there is, I felt like it was, I don't say UK facing, but they had their chains, which I love to go to chains in different countries and see what chains they're eating.
Okay.
As I was on my personal chicken tour, so I went to... They have their shit called Chicken Lickin', which was all right. It was pretty good. It shit licked.
That name kind of fired.
Yeah, that was good. So I had some Chicken Lickin', and I had, and of course they had Nando's, you know.
Ah, Nando's.
That's from there. And then they had KFC there, and I tried it, and it was better than it was here, but it wasn't good like I wanted it to be.
What is with KFC's out?
Niggas love chicken everywhere. Chicken's good.
I know, but they're, you know, branding and franchise strategy has just been so perplexing to me because they just have such a large global footprint.
and at home, nobody likes it.
And between that and here, it's just KFC. Like, nobody really gives a fuck. The biggest KFC is in Port of Spain, Trinidad. I went there.
You went in there, right? Yeah. It's two stories. That shit is nice, bro. That chicken's good. Yeah. That chicken was mad good, dog. Yeah. Shout out to that Port of Spain KFC, wherever y'all at.
Yeah, for real.
Y'all send the link approved. Yeah. Great chicken.
Look at KFC. Okay, but they had a couple chains.
Debonair's Pizza, Steers, Wimpy's, which is like their breakfast thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, that was good. The service is obviously a little slower, but there was McDonald's there. There was KFC there. Lay's, I feel like Lay's is like a big like snack chip there. Mm-hmm. They had their own brands, but Lay's. And musically, like, we went out a couple times and was able to hear music around. And I heard mostly like their music, but like in the same vein that like Afrobeat is hot.
Yeah,
they're getting like Afrobeat from Nigeria the same way that we're getting it. Yeah. So they're like listening to the same six songs that we're listening to. So okay. That's weird. But they had their own like music, which was like really hot. Like they had good. It's like a housey type Afrobeat type shit. I was like, okay, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they were playing. At one point, we went somewhere and they were just playing like, oh damn, this is the same. It's just like the same, but the mix was like all the hip hop songs from like 2012 and shit. Like it's just like, oh y'all remember this? Y'all remember this? We mix it with. I was like, okay, so. The world's too small now.
Yeah, internet. For sure, for sure.
Internet's killed it, man.
Well, you're back.
I'm back.
How was the flight back, by the way?
It was also 15 hours.
I would imagine, yeah.
But yeah, I ended up having an ILC. So ILC, I basically wrote it myself. So I was just out here chilling, wilding. Yeah, got my vino on.
Mm.
People, you know, I don't know, accent, very charming. I was like, you know, this Trevor Noah shit is charming as shit. Nigga was passing wine. He's like, would you like some wine, sir? I was like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I want some wine.
Yeah, that kind of mixy Afrikaans, Dutch, English accent thing.
That my one note before we move on about how other niggas are back is that was one cultural thing that was really interesting, like the Afrikaans like sort of dynamic, because like all the other white people like know they're like they have this understanding that they're not from there, but like Afrikaans people feel like they're from there, and it's like
yeah, they feel like it's their shit.
So it's like this weird, you're like yeah, you know, Afrikaans, we you know we were here in the 18, it's like, and people, it was like kind of like all right, it's like an interesting like social dynamic of like how they feel like wronged by the British while simultaneously being like the legacy of like these people that were. It's just like a lot of it's just weird. That's a it's like four level racial strife.
Yeah, because from what I gather from a few articles, specifically a piece in the New Yorker from a couple months back, I can't recall the name of the author, but it's one of these intractable issues that can't really be solved legally unless it just caused a massive upheaval of the current status quo, albeit. The abolition of apartheid was something in a similar effect. But you have, for example, this guy. The example was like this guy, he owned a bunch of land, in short. And he only owned it because, let's say, his grandfather owned it 100 years ago. So they're trying to do this land, you know, return movement or what have you from Black African political parties, to the point where you have like the activists on the front lines literally just getting up and putting shacks on the guy's land. And he's like, what the fuck? This is quote unquote my land. That I have the legal right to this land. But realistically, if you look, if you zoom out the scope a little further, you clearly don't have, like your ancestors stole this land from, you know, like from the people that were there originally. So it's always about like when is the starting point for who owns what? What is the rightful means of doing this? Like, is there, where does legalese and where is the through line between legalese and morality and who's the rightful owner of this? Especially in light of the massive gaping socioeconomic gap between Blacks and whites in the country that makes what we're dealing with here pale in comparison. You know, so. It's something to consider for sure.
I mean, definitely, man. I would say that's like the thing that's looming over not only South Africa, but I guess the entirety of the world.
Yes, it's yes. Like, it's better and worse in some places. But when they were starting off from such a place of deprivation, that
so
being
recent.
Yeah, and so recent that is just, especially in our media environment, we can see and know so much. That we're looking at, the entire world is looking on, and the people of the country are looking on. Like, this is clearly just extremely fucked up. Not just normally, I guess, with the American glaze over. Like, oh, we can just get along or get along, but there's really bad, as you described in certain respects with these towers, with garbage towers and structures in the middle or whatever. In certain pockets, is really fucked up.
Yeah, man. On that down note.
On a good note, you had a good time, man. No, recommended it.
Yeah. Yeah, go. Definitely go. But I would say that even on my return, you know, it felt, you know, somewhat like a profound experience. You know, when you're like, oh, you know, it's thoughtful. You get in touch. You
get a little more worldly.
You know, a little worldly, touch with your own, you know, spirituality and shit like that. So, upon my return, cool.
I'm going to fuck up your good transition.
No, that's all right. Mid pause. Go ahead.
Okay.
Comment.
Is a question for you or asking for additional commentary about did you see anything? Because one thing that we didn't speak to is that corruption is rampant across South Africa, specifically the last prime minister, or they have the presidential system of the country. He was ousted. Jacob Zuma, and now it's ran by Ramaphosa. Am I right? Apparently, like a lot of the African leaders, they just had a conference with Vladimir Putin in Russia. That's all about for this. Yeah, you know. But nonetheless, Did you see any of the like blatant corruption? And or I also know that the crime rate is very high. Whether what is it in Johannesburg or what have you, a lot of thievery or
I'm sure
kidnapping and whatnot.
I was told, you know, never have your phone out. Number one.
Okay.
A few things that I did peep is number one. Well, this is a crazy story. Our power went out. Like
right. Okay.
For our buildings, like. One day.
And you
like,
were in Trump Tower, right?
I was not there. So I had to get back into my building somehow with no power. I was like, how the fuck am I going to get in here? Because it was all, like, all passcodes and shit. So I was like, oh, shit. And I was in my head, I was like, oh, I'm coming back to this downtown area that we previously described as shitty.
Right.
And there's no power.
Hmm.
I was like, what the fuck am I about to do?
She was looking like District 9 for real.
I was like, I have to get wild in here. But I was fine. But... they made it the way it seemed like it was like just our building. Like, well, I was like, why did that happen? Like, why is it just our building and not like the whole block was down? So that was tenuous. I didn't firsthand witness any corruption. I kept hearing on the radio the Zuma talk. Everyone was talking about it. Like, they would play the radio when they were going anywhere, and people were constantly, constantly talking about what's Zuma doing. He's on trial. He's fighting it. Blah blah blah. So that was something that I did hear a bit. But it didn't seem to me, and this is as someone operating as like a foreigner, maybe they didn't want to like, you know.
They run their best behavior around
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but I took a flight from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and in like the little like bus from the plane, some white women were talking about how one of them got robbed. And we were like eavesdropping, and she was just like, yeah, you know, I don't know, they just... It's supposedly supposed to be safe, but, you know, they took my bag or something. Oh, it's like, yikes. So I was able to, you know, blend it enough. And then I always lie. I'm never from America. When you travel, you're from America? I'm never from America.
Where were you saying you were from?
Somewhere in the Caribbean or Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm with it.
Yeah. And they were making fun of me. They're like, oh, what's up, Rasta? That's all they would call because of my dreads.
Shout out to the fire truck. But yeah.
Saving lives.
So you are a Rasta. You from St. Vincent or St. Croix?
Yeah, something. Yeah, something. Whatever. According to them.
Okay.
They thought that was funny.
Mm. Nah, my travels actually was never, I don't know, keen or preemptive enough to do that. I always would say I'm from New York or from, you know, from America.
I mean, eventually they find out. But like in past, like tourist people, like people trying to sell me shit.
Mm.
Wait, where you from? Where you from? It's like, I don't have American money. All right.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, that's being keen and having street sense. Yeah, so you don't want to be. Because
I was able to hustle a lot of them for like their goods, and I felt really good about it. Like, you know, because I'm a bad person.
You got your haggle on.
Yeah, I got me some paintings and shit. And he was like, oh, you know, it's you know, this is like 20. I was like, oh, I don't have American money. I don't have that. oh, but you. I thought you were from. I don't have it. All I got is your money. Oh, well, it's 300. I got 100.
That's all I got.
That's what I got.
Actually, I got 3.
They're like, oh, okay, I'm leaving. Just you can have it. All right, bet. Because that's what I was going to pay. And 100, remember, is like $3.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to me.
Shout out to you coming up, getting over on the...
On the impoverished people. I'm a bad person. I feel bad.
Getting over on the local South African man trying to feed his family.
Oh, yeah. I'm a bad person. Just like Kanye West. There's my segue. Getting over on people.
He's not a bad person.
Exactly. DJ.
Yes.
Are you aware of this past weekend, former, I guess, artist we liked, Kanye West, released his latest gospel album, Jesus is King. People have a lot to say about it. There's a lot of commentary. There's a lot of media, not to say fervor, but attention to, I guess, the, you know, hysteria surrounding Sunday service, building up to this album. Mm-hmm. And now it's here, and people don't like it. And people don't like this whole situation, and it's just, I don't know.
It's divisive.
It is. It's divisive. I'm gonna say it like that.
Divisive. That's the
news, way to the, say the, it. The news anchor shit.
Yeah. Divisive.
It's divisive.
Okay.
And you felt the sentiment as well. You felt this amongst the ether of folks.
I've tried to evade most of the chaff out there. But I did not by my own choice, wind up listening to it, but
interesting. Okay, can we dive into that?
into the by choice not to listen to it, or
no, that you did, but it was not of your own.
Yeah, sure. I was on the way to my a family function.
Yes.
And en route, I was in a cousin's car, and he wanted to play it. So just for conversation's sake, he was still working his mind through it and getting his thoughts out of it. He's into music, so.
And he wanted to present it to you.
He was, yeah, as conversationally, we both grew up into music and into Kanye, and he's not as militant or clearly like has a clear political sense about things or ethical sense about things as I do. He kind of just takes shit for what it is. So he's like, yeah, no, let's do it. So I listened to just about all of the non-purely gospel tracks, I would say, which is like 2/3 of the album, more or less.
Not gonna lie, I don't know the difference between all the songs. So, but I know some.
Yeah, it's kind of consequential in like,
like a minute
full understanding of it. Yeah, but any of the ones that you know sound great and have you know like the massive Sunday service choir, I probably didn't hear. But the ones that were the more pure hip hop songs, I've heard.
And DJ just made a face, y'all. I just want to let you know that if you're listening. A face of, I don't know, tacit bemusement. Just like, yeah, I heard it. I want to know what you felt because it was presented to you as a let's listen to it, and I know you don't want to listen to it because you felt like it was a moral choice to not participate in this to some extent.
I don't even want to formulate saying that.
Or a personal,
Don't care for him anymore. And it's like, and it's really, it's from a place of peace at this point. I really don't want to be invested enough into somebody that's, you know, not doing much for me. So at this point, I really want to see him do well. I think overall, his actions nowadays are for a positive cause per se. So I can't be mad at him, but is it for me? And then at the end of the day, is the music for me? Are the bars hot enough for me to really like go out of my way and have to have these long, drawn-out conversations?
And you listen to music, right?
Yeah, and to deal with him as a complicated character as he is.
And rappers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you listen to exactly.
So when you view it like that, you're like, okay, well, I don't have to engage in it just because that's what whatever remnants of the monoculture that are left tells me to, or makes it a conversational type of thing. I haven't listened to Ye at all. I didn't listen to that album. Like I don't know any of the songs.
The previous one.
Yeah, the previous one. So, but I think I came around to really enjoying Life of Pablo over time. It's sonically pretty amazing, although that's where the decline, pretty like precipitous decline, at least to me, right. Started when it came to his performance of the songs, his rapping, his flow, his cadence, the bars are really bad. And still to me, one thing that I harp on whenever I'm giving hip hop chats with friends and fam is the complete like lack of quality control, which is weird. Knowing that Kanye is
like, are you that busy?
No,
in my head, I'm just like, are you that busy that you can't?
or your friends that busy or not that engaged enough or don't feel like they can't tell you something or you're not listening. This is when it gets more complicated than it's worth, because at the end of the day, the final product is a lot of bad raps, and you're supposed to be Kanye West.
But it's like any person could have told you, like, don't do that.
Yes,
like,
I know.
It's not even that much.
That's why it's perplexing.
Just proficient. It doesn't even have to be good. Just like, oh, that rhymed and it wasn't distasteful.
It's cool. Like, yeah, when Father Stretch My Hand starts, it's this, you know, burgeoning, you know, just massive flush of emotion and power. And he starts off with such a rudimentary ass flow. It's just really bad. It's really bad. And that's why, you know, DJs, when they're going through the sets, they just play like the first couple of seconds before he even starts rapping whenever that song comes on. Nonetheless, I guess that leads us into now. Just on the merits, I thought it was actually worse than I thought it would be. I did.
Interesting.
Yeah. The beats, the sound, it sounds good. Remember, I have the table and say that, as I said, I didn't listen to the gospel songs. I'm sure that those all sound like the pure gospel songs with like just the choirs and whatnot. I'm sure those sound great. But in terms of his rapping and his delivery of the songs and the tracks, it was really bad to me. And very like first grade, I just, you know, got into religion type things. Yeah. Like there was no real depth or religious understanding of what he was saying. It was like a lot of just empty aphorisms or like an empty cudgel, so to speak, which was not surprising seeing that he got into all of this literally within the span of a year. So maybe you shouldn't be trying to rush out with a gospel album if you really don't know what the gospel is in the first place.
That's a good point.
So
You got a lot of opinions over there.
I have a lot of what?
Opinions over there. Well thought out.
It was just the content aside, his cadence and flow and the bars were really bad.
Yeah.
At least to me, it was really bad. Like, really bad. Especially for Kanye West. He's never been, you know, Andre 3000 of rapping, but he's always been able to, when I use the term perform a hip hop song, a rap song, like that's doing the song, that's rapping and being engaging, and having a flow and a bounce and a cadence and a rhythm to it, a confidence with it. That shit just all seems like a combination of forced and, I don't know, it was just
phoned it in, I don't know.
Yeah, phoned in, and a lot of the songs are EQ'd weird. You know, it sounds like, I guess knowing him, like there's some type of weird intentionality to it. But he's so mad again in his head now. I guess nobody can really tell him anything. You can't tell me nothing. He told us that 10 years ago.
It's true.
So
12.
That's what things did with me. I wasn't planning on going back to it anyway. I wasn't going to really try to listen to it because I don't really care for the guy or his music at this point. But
the it was actually worse
than I thought.
Quote, unquote, the guy. I love it.
What say you?
Yeah, I thought it was actually really good.
Good.
But not in the sense of like everything you said is correct. Like I came in with no expectations. My expectations were that it was going to be ass.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, the production was really good. I thought the production was good. I had no hope for any good bars. So the two that I got, I was like, all right, I like that. That's fine. Okay. That took it. And for me, I love that it's mad short.
Okay.
Like, that's my greatest takeaway from this. It's like, I love it. A minute and a half, boom, song over.
We in and out.
Time is over. Whatever. It's just like, I as I've said, I basically stopped listening to music.
Okay.
I have like retreated from music and I'm just like, yo, I had my time up until 2015. And that was it. I had it. It was a good run. Catch me with every single you got. I will listen to that. And furthermore, I don't care what no nigga has anything to say. Like, what are you going to tell me? Nothing. So part of the discussion around him and what he has to say and blah, blah, blah is moot because I don't care what he has to say.
Right.
I don't think he has anything interesting to say for me at all. And his own personal revelations about whatever are colored with a mania that makes it not have value for my perception of him. It's just like, all right, and nigga, you just, this is what you're doing now. All right, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll make an album with some shit, other shit in like 2 days. So I'm not gaining this, like, oh, my artist I like, I'm getting this insight into him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've also seen a nigga that gets into church a lot heavy. I've seen it. I've seen it. Cool. Great. That's cool. You've got the wherewithal to like, get, you know, boppers to like follow you around and want to be around you and sing.
Right.
So cool. Sonically came out really cool. Some of the tracks are like, oh, great. I like the way it sounds. Would I like more drums at some point? Would I like someone to just rap better? Would I like him to be like, yo, I'm gonna guide this shit and then mm-hmm. I'm gonna just Dr. Dre this shit and let niggas just rap.
So the pared down beats make the vocals. It draws more attention to the vocals. and the vocals are bad.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we're disagreeing in our takeaways, but we're like, on all the merits of everything, we could pretty much like agree on all this shit. I think if you or any, or me or anyone else put it on a plate of shit in the background, it would be fine. Like, it's fine.
But it's not listening music.
Yes. It's not something you intently listen to because, as you said, I don't know if it always has existed. He's always been crass. I've actually realized that as of like fairly recently. But has he always just not known what the fuck he was talking about and been so shallow?
In terms of what?
Just in terms of the rhetoric and the direction, obviously, with his like more outward statements nowadays. Not solely within the music, with his old music. But even just like being a persona. Even he has like mad references to like, oh, we have to abolish the 13th Amendment because he has like a surface understanding that the 13th Amendment abolished slavery.
I would say potentially just because, you know, like, when did you start listening to Kanye? When I started listening to Kanye, I was listening to him
since freshman adjustment mixtape.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't really care about the shit he was saying in a way that I was supposed to dive into. I was just like, all right, he's got some basic level bars that are okay. The beats are hot.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, the
messaging was cool.
The messaging was better. It was more concise and it was more coherent.
And now the messaging for him to talk about something like the 13th Amendment, when we all know this nigga doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
It just falls.
That's what makes it worse. Maybe we're coming around to thinking or agreeing, potentially, tell me if I'm wrong, but that, yeah, he's become definitely less coherent over time, and that maybe from this induced, you know, mania and the insulated bubble he lives in, the Kardashian clan, all this type of shit, and him, I guess, being on YouTube for too long. I don't know, like, how he's started to develop all of this shit.
I just think, you know, he has a basic understanding, which is like, I don't like, can somebody with a basic understanding of most of this shit really like get it across to you?
No, right. No, at least not from an intellectual point of view. But at least it seemed, or at least I could be projecting.
And for somebody who's clearly poor at articulating themselves.
Right. But it seemed like he was more coherent and articulated himself in previous versions. I feel like when you have, just for any example song, Diamonds from Sierra Leone, the remix to that.
But like those songs probably have down. More lyrics in them than this whole fucking album.
That's my point.
So I don't know if that is his by choice though. Like he's like, I'm not really. I think I read something he said he didn't want to rap. Like I'm not rapping anymore. You know, I'm just making these, like, so I don't.
We have to like take everything he says with a grain of salt because it's just like flim flam now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we're generally in the same page.
Yeah.
For me, what irks me is the conversation around it. Once again, this is one of my things that always irks me, is people like complaining about things. But I'm just like, yeah, this nigga's an idiot. So I don't expect, like, people are like, he's contradicting himself. Now he's doing another phase, blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm not going to listen to it. Like, that doesn't color the work to me, because why would I expect him to not do any of that?
Because I don't think you're quite counting in like his cultural importance and what he at least was purported to stand for quite a long time, quite a long period of time. And not just politically, but like as a whole persona, as an entity, he's probably the most important pop culture icon of the past generation, I would say.
Yeah.
So
off of
several albums,
off of braggadocio, right. So, can do whatever he wants.
So potentially the foundation upon reexamination may not be as firm and as strong, but it is in a lot of respects. It really is. College Dropout, that shit is really a landmark thing. My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy is really a thing. You know, Lake Registration, Lake Orchestration, those are all like really substantive things, and it's not always about the lyrics and the direction of the songs, but they just seem like they were just more coherent than the direction he's gone in now. And this is not even taken into the fact of the salacious things that have happened, for better or worse, over the years, and his effect on fashion and sneakers. It's been like huge. It really has been. So once, you know, somebody that has so much cultural capital starts going left, or far right, so to speak, because he's just, I guess, turned to like a weird reactionary that can't articulate his views. But I guess that's what's in vogue nowadays. Yeah, like people are going to be disturbed by that. They just are.
I mean, but I feel like a lot of it is just kind of hypocritical sniping more than anything, because we knew this shit up to this point. Now the transition of like us being frustrated with this nigga has been like, it's been 3 to 4 years, right? What was it? Pablo, was that really
since he started? Yeah, like Pablo Thomas, when he started going off and had to cancel his tour and shit, so his life like was robbed or whatever.
3-ish years, yeah. Like this has been happening.
3 to 4 years.
So now that we're at this point and people are sort of making these critiques, I feel like a lot of it's just like anti-religiosity. So niggas are mad that like he's using this thing to be like part of his thing. And it's also this pro-religion. It's like this weird like dual sides of it. Niggas are like... Kanye, like, y'all mad because Kanye trying to find God, but also this nigga ain't trying to find. Like, it's like this weird thing, but it's not really about any of that. It's just this nigga is manic and he's doing his thing that he does.
On the anti side, people who don't want crass religiosity. That's the thing. Like, for somebody with so much cultural capital and clout, it is weird that he's giving us. First grade Bible school teachings and shit, or right. Understanding of shit. It's just like, it just doesn't mesh well. Like, you just don't know what you're talking about. And he's just not the normal Joe Schmo rapper or Lecrae or whoever some Christian rapper is. So it's going to be more of a lightning rod type of thing.
That's fair. I just, it's funny what people will let people do. It's like, oh, this nigga can. He can make a Jesus album. He can cry. He can do all this shit, but he can't like become a bullshit preacher. Why not? He can do all this shit. Like, fine.
I mean, nobody's about to. But niggas is mad.
Like, I don't like. Why is this? This is a bridge too far.
I don't know about all of that.
But that's how. But it's how just like that perception of it. I'm like, let's let him be full of shit. Like,
yeah, we. Niggas are just groping for understanding, and there is none. That's the thing. We're groping for understanding. We don't get it. There are, you know, abstractions from the entirety of it, his entirety of his lifestyle and persona that are understandable for sure. But when you add it all up, and you add up a interview that he has or whatever, and 78% of it is coherent, and then that last, you know, 22% is not. It's just like you just don't get the full picture of it because it just like it just doesn't fucking make sense.
I think in a couple of years this will be looked at fondly. Actually, that's
we'll see. I mean, the bars are not getting any better.
The bars aren't getting any better. But this nigga got Clips and Kenny G on the same track. I was like, God damn, that shit is magical.
That's one song on a 27-minute album.
But songs are over, man. Like albums are over. The idea of the album is fucking over, man. You just make four Maybe. Songs that are hot, and then that's fine.
Just call it a day.
It's called because who listens to a what is a lot DJ? What music is hot right now? Tell me really quick before we like what music is hot? Rappers. What rappers made hot albums and people care about it?
Hot albums like an entire album,
and they care about the songs on the album.
Are we talking about like mainstream or what?
Yeah.
Okay, just mainstream.
10 songs that are good on an album. No,
well, I mean, Freddie Gibbs is not mainstream, but like his album was hard. I mean, people like Megan Thee Stallion. Her album was cool.
It's she
like,
had 10. She had 10 songs on that.
I don't know about a strong 10.
She probably had 4 songs that niggas know.
But that's been a longstanding mainstream strategy. It's just been put into overdrive with yeah. It's gone into overdrive with the streamer era.
Sorry. But it's just like the idea of people like, Kanye's album was whack. It only had like 4 songs. I'm like,
he's from the previous era though.
But the point I'm trying to say is that niggas don't hold their standards. They tell me all these young niggas, YBRs, YBNs, all shit. Yeah. The niggas just make the same
sound. Oh yeah, YBN Cordae, his shit
was
cool.
But niggas make that sound. The sound that it is established for them. You know, like just make this easy sounding shit that everyone accepts right. That knows that they like. And people will praise it. And it's not like, it requires nothing. None of this shit requires anything. And it's just funny how people won't give leeway to say that, oh, like 4 or 5 of these songs are good on this 10-song album. It's trash. It's 2 stars.
I would concede that. I already gave you the caveat that the gospel songs are probably fire. I was mainly talking about the messaging, and the performance, like Kanye's performance on the album, which would, that part was worse than I expected. I mean, I'm already counting in, like, the shit is going to sound very good because he's Kanye West and he's a musical genius. Like, I'm not going to be like some weird Kanye troll or whatever. I've made peace with those situations. I really am not like that invested. It's just more so what I've tried to teach myself, you know, becoming a real ass adult is like, there's certain shit that you should, if you don't feel good about it or you don't want to fuck with it, then you should just fall back off of it, right?
That's
cool. And some people are going to be cool with it. Some people are not. There are much more important things in life, in public life, that I would like to be invested in than, you know, going on some Kanye diatribe or worrying about what this man is doing.
DJ running for Congress, y'all. This nigga just announced.
Sure, you know, and I would love a Kanye endorsement, so I'm not trying to, you know, burn bridges.
You don't want that.
I mean, you got the hype beast, man. You see all these motherfuckers wearing Yeezys?
So, don't be started. So we can talk about the important things you should care about. Eddie Murphy's endorsement.
I would take Eddie Murphy's endorsement.
He's back with the force.
He's Dolomite.
Yes, it's his name.
That's his name.
DJ, if you listeners aren't aware, Eddie Murphy is back via Netflix and the theaters as well.
Oh yeah, hit theaters.
Yeah, select theaters.
Select theaters.
Dolomite is my name. The history and life of Rudy Ray Moore, the director of Dolomite. Mm-hmm. DJ, how much experience do you have with the titular character and the history of this blaxploitation film that this shit is based upon?
Low-key, I've seen parts of the original Dolomite, but not the whole thing.
Good, because me neither. Like, I've seen the whole thing, but I like forced to as a child or like being around like this.
Like,
shit.
What the hell is this?
This is wild, inappropriate bullshit that somebody had on a tape or something like that.
Yeah,
and you watch it at your grandma's house somehow. You've seen it. It's just like this weird.
It's one of those things that are frozen in time. And when you revisit it, to be honest, it shit is not that good.
It's garb.
A lot of blaxploitation films, incomprehensible.
Yeah, but you know, ODB, baby, you got your money. It was the video. So, you know, cultural ephemera, as you like to say, wafting through the past 40 some odd years of black history. So that's part of it. And the fact that Eddie Murphy and a shit ton of other like black actors are like part of the retelling of the story, I think it's dope. But I think it's a dope part of, I guess, the returning of him to the game, because he's doing Coming to America. He's potentially gonna
do SNL, right?
He's hosting SNL. December. Yeah, so it's an interesting time for, like, I guess him as a figure to return. Because I mean, I forgot about him, but he just kind of was like, "Yo, I got bread," fell back.
How much money did he make?
That's a good question. Cause this nigga got that donkey money from Shrek. That shit long.
Donkey. Him and Mike Myers.
They just eating. Cause Mike Myers fell back to it.
Man, now that you say that,
he just kind of was like, "Yo, I got this. I got this bread. Go back to Canada."
Because there's a part of life that we haven't accessed yet. Soon come, but it's like, how much money is enough? You know. For those types, right? If you're just an entertainer,
never enough.
You're whispering, never enough.
Never enough.
But he fell back for a hot minute. Like, he was like, "I'm cool." Like, could you not be cool with $60 million? Like, you could be very cool with $60 million.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, famous. If you're rich, you're just rich, you probably need more money because you need to, like, power your way into shit. Mm-hmm. If you're famous, you don't really pay for shit. You just go, "I'm Eddie Murphy." And people just...
They walk in Cat's Delicatessen, they get mad free briskets and shit.
Yeah, eat free briskets.
Being pastrami, I mean, not brisket, but pastrami.
Pastrami and corned beef, nigga. This nigga's feasting. All those salted meats.
Right.
So I for somebody like him, it's interesting that he chose to do this. But I guess kind of like when he did Dreamgirls, which we stepped out once in a while. It was like, this is a piece that mattered. It's, you know, about a certain time. Because it was funny. Because you just haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to, like, spoil it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to spoil it for you.
Not the remake.
But it's definitely, like, mostly a drama. And it's, like, bringing back all these characters. And there's so many actors in it that, like, oh, shit, they gave this person a shot to be in this. Like, Titus Burgess is in it. Fucking Craig Robinson's in it. Mm. Mike Epps is in it. Mm. Lou Nell is in it. Mm. It's a lot of like just actors just like, oh shit, like this person or that person. I feel like, damn, I'm forgetting somebody's name that I know. It was like hella funny that they were in this. But it was interesting to have them all exist in like the 70s time capsule and Eddie to just be back, just acting, just sort of like, no, I'm just back. Like you just never like missed him. And you kind of forget how big Eddie was in terms of like his stature. Because I was talking a little bit off pod about the Mark Twain thing with Dave Chappelle. I was like, shit, Eddie was the GOAT of this, especially to the actor, comedian to actor game.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's exciting for me to see like he's back out here moving and shaking, getting some bread. And sort of the re-blackening of Netflix, like black prestige drama.
Had on Netflix. It been black before?
They're trying.
You said the re-blackening.
The re-blackening.
It was black before?
Well, in the back end.
Oh, back when it was just giving out DVDs?
In the barrel shit of Netflix. You know that barrel they give you when it's like, oh, Megan Good got a movie? Yeah, that was the original blackening.
She was waist deep too. Wasn't she waist deep one? Her fucking what's the thing? The game or something? The Tyrese
Pooch Hall, nigga.
So like extended BET universe. I ain't mad at y'all. It's all love.
But you gonna check it out?
Yeah. I've had it up on the queue for a minute. I just haven't checked it out. Is it still as sharp? You know, like it seems like it's been. Not even seen him. It has been quite some time for Edward Murphy.
I mean, he doesn't have to have like sort of witty comedic.
Oh, okay.
He plays a character who's doing comedy, so that like helps him. Hmm. And I mean, honestly, it's a drama. It's kind of long. I'm not gonna lie, but he put up some of his own bread for it. I know he like helped produce it and things like that. So, I feel like people talking about some Oscar shit for him. So,
right.
I don't know. I don't know if I see that. It wasn't like a lot of.
I don't know if I see all that.
But it just wasn't a lot of range. He just kind of just felt like he just played a guy. But I thought it was edited pretty well because they were able to like mix in some stuff from the movie, like shot for shot, which was fun. Really thought that was a good look. And some of the other characters just kind of like nebulous as to who they were and how it happened. Oh, no, I'm not going to ruin it for you. I was going to say some cameos, but I'm not going to. I ain't going to do it like that to you. Let you.
Don't do it.
I ain't going to do it.
Don't do it. Well. Well, since I don't want to keep prodding you on before you fuck around and spoil something for me, but maybe next time we reconvene, we promise, in a more timely fashion, we can revisit Dolomite for a bit.
Yeah, most definitely.
But till then, what else you got?
Before we wrap up, because actually pretty deep in the pod, I'm sorry my South African story got so interesting. Yeah. But we wanted to get sort of into how we always do a little professional, a little business world.
Business corner.
Stocks are up, stocks are down. sell, buy, sell. this is something that we sort of talk about a lot as a side conversation. So we wanted to bring it to you guys, you know, so you're aware, because I'm sure that it's infesting your city. The current state of WeWork. We have a piece too as well from the Wall Street Journal. WeWork debacle teaches investors a lesson about value. So WeWork announced that they were going public. But what was it? A few weeks ago or a month ago or so?
When their announcement that they were going public.
Well, they're like, yeah, that
process. It was about 2 months ago.
Yeah, a few like so. Since then.
Or at least 2 months ago.
Yeah, but since then we've had a precipitous decline. Yeah, I was going to say
like a slow-moving collapse.
Saying that for a while now. Now, upon the revelation of their finances and how shoddy they were, what do they own or they don't own, where is the value from this company really existing? Yeah. And I think it's funny, and I wanted to talk about it with you because we've kind of just never really, like, we talk about this. Sometimes we'll talk about stocks. Oh, fuck with this. This is hot. This is popping. And, you know, we have our business corner. And the idea of WeWork, and if you see them out in the world, if you are in one.
You might be on one right now.
You might be on one right now. Listen, yeah. Like, damn, I was at my boring ass desk, and now I got beer on tap and fucking
kombucha
and pillows.
Sleeping pods and shit.
Sleeping pods and pillows and all this shit. And how are we affording it? I don't know. They don't know either. So we're at a place where this sort of, I don't know, I don't call bullshit because that's rude. But this company, which is just kind of somehow gobbled up all this retail space and office space, now has to account for how they're paying for the shit. What do they own? Where is the value in it?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem tenable.
Yeah, so the prospects of WeWork as a company and what it is may be more or a longer conversation than what we have time for. But on the whole, it looks at its most bare bones to be a real estate holding company that leases out space. And sometimes they lease inside of a lease that potentially leaves them vulnerable to any rises or declines in the market, recessions, so on and so forth, because they don't own a lot of their buildings. And they had a charismatic leader, a man named Adam Neumann, who's come out a billionaire even after the debacle of this company.
Started off.
Right. Ran off on the plug twice. Yeah, but that was able to convince a lot of investors, in particular this guy, what's his name? Son. I forgot his first name. He's the leader of this investment fund in Japan called SoftBank, in which they've gathered, I believe, around like $200 billion to invest in technologies and businesses that are, you know, supposedly blah, 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 going to change the world. A nice, you know, gala talk about all this bullshit.
Right.
Nonetheless, or at least if their investments are like this one, then I wouldn't have a lot of faith in the SoftBank investment fund first round of funding. But so first off, the main impetus, whether people know it or not, to go public is to, one, raise additional funds for the company, and for two, for the main founders and investors to cash out 9 times out of 10. So, and the interplay between the two of those. So it appears as if SoftBank kind of jumped the gun and rushed to go public with their company, thus opening up their books to the public, ensuring that they are compliant with GAAP, generally accepted accounting practices, right?
So, we're learning today, yo. We're right. Learning.
So, in their S-1 document, there were just a lot of inconsistencies and points of concern that a variety of investors and the media pointed out and did not get sufficient responses from WeWork's media arm, so to speak. So they initially came forward with their, at least IPO proposal, where you go to various different financial services institutions that can help underwrite your IPO, that can help facilitate things, that can, you know, do a bit of networking and developing a whole plan around how you can go public. And they initially valued themselves at $24 billion. Shortly thereafter that and all the public scrutiny, they wrote themselves down to being worth then still a paltry $6 billion.
That's lost $18 million.
Over the course of a few weeks off of speculation. Then from there, the valuation numbers still continue to go down as it does today, because the valuation and the stock price is nothing but a bet, a speculation on future returns, future revenues and profits, right? Because you get most stock structures, you get dividends, right? So investors in short started to believe that they weren't going to get money back on their investment, including people that had invested in WeWork initially before they tried to go public. They still haven't gone public yet. In short, what are we saying in short? This shit was a massive thud because of shitty accounting practices, because of a half-baked, albeit That'd be a nice term, like, for these type of things nowadays. Like gig economy job. That's not even the gig economy.
It's just like a
Web 3.0 job.
It's 3.0?
Web 3.0 has been a thing.
I thought we were Web 2.0.
No, we have 3.0.
Okay.
Yeah, 4.0. That's gig economy type shit. Yeah, well, web.
Just like the I don't know, this leasing shit where it's just like you don't, the subscription model shit. Like, it's just like.
Sure, yes. Just the premise, the initial premise of their business model is tenuous at best, and looks like it can't really stand up to the most stressful situations that can happen. And not only in the American economy, but they have locations all over the world at this point. So, and at the end of the day, their business model is not particularly dynamic. They're not doing really anything new. They just have a nice modern sheen on top of everything. They got the flat, you know, matte glass and, right. and the browned wood combinations everywhere to give everyone the impression that, oh, this is a slick new product, when really it's just like a real estate company.
It's all finesse.
So there was a lot of branding, a lot of glad handing, a lot of finessing, a lot of adulation and good media profiles and relations, and a charismatic CEO that pretty much finessed everybody and finessed the biggest investment fund in the world.
If your company's in a WeWork, beware. It's not even a joke.
Well, it looks like
we don't want to pay for this shit or what's going on. Or,
well, it looks like WeWork
there's a donkey company down the hallway and shit. We splitting with, you know, I think it's, Saudi government got one. It's all kinds of, it should just be disparate.
Yeah, so I believe SoftBank is going to basically take over the company, take over the majority of the shares, so then they will be controlling it. So
because they're fucked.
Because they have to protect. So much money in. Yes, they put so much money in, then they have to continue putting money in it to protect the money that they've already put into it. So there probably will be relatively sunk cost. Yeah, so. They will most likely get to the point where, if enough smart and in-depth people get around it at this point, because the founder and former CEO, Adam Neumann, has been ousted from his job and given a, not a gold, but probably like a diamond parachute.
You float down on how many billies?
Right. Around two and $164 million consulting assignment or something like that.
Amen.
Yeah, SoftBank is going to take it over, bring it to probably relative stability, but realistically, at the end of the day, they're just going to have a real estate company with Apple Sheen on it, and it's not going to grow tremendously. It probably will shrink quite a bit. What's up?
That's who could buy it.
Who?
Apple.
No, but there's not anything to it. That's the thing.
That's the point. They just have. It doesn't matter. It's so much money, it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, Apple could buy anything, really. So, but that's a different issue. But at the end of the day,
Apple it's buildings, y'all.
It's going Apple to buildings. Relatively shrink in size and just be this kind of real estate company with an Apple sheen.
Low-key?
With a bit of nice technology, you can rent out a floor or a desk or something like that. There are companies that already do
low-key
this.
Trump.
What?
It's just like, it's going to be like a licensing shit. They just slap on shit.
Right, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of brand. It's a branding thing. So, but this speaks to a larger lesson that has been making reverberations across the business community over probably the past year or so, in which there is a tremendous amount of capital out there, as in money floating around, rich people wanting to invest in things. A lot of economists say, particularly because of income inequality, you just have like, you know, a handful of super duper rich people that they have nothing else to do with their money. So they just want to invest in things, but there are not enough viable things to invest in to where you would get a sizable return out of.
Some shit just floats up like this.
So people just throw bread at all kind of stuff. And you wind up with companies that grow way too fast with undercooked ideas and books. And they get to this point where, like, you're WeWork, and people have put all this money into it, and they're getting it for a while. No, it's not McDonald's. It's
but
just,
that would be a good idea.
I don't know. I'm not
you
here
charge,
to...
You charge niggas fees for the wood and shit. And
the WeWork wood?
The WeWork wood and the logos. They don't have to own it, but the other niggas own it. And now you're in a position where that was already your value. The idea that you owned property and shit was a lie anyway. So now it's like, niggas just rent out their apartments, make them nice. It's the Uber model. Then you make a nice apartment. It's the flip side of Airbnb.
But you say Uber, right? So
that
so,
shit don't make money. I know.
Yes. So the leading paragon of this, the one success story that's ever worked where just massive amounts of capital going into a company that didn't make money is Amazon. But it took Amazon basically
just taking over the world.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah. But it took Amazon like 15 years and stretching out their tentacles in so many different directions to even make a profit. They just started becoming profitable like 3 years ago.
And they just flexed off of the web services. That was the one hit that just really took it over the top.
Exactly. So that ideal and that model and that example is extremely more likely than not going to be replicated. But the same type of investors that looked at these unicorn companies and looked at an Amazon are trying to make another Amazon. But everyone's trying to do it on an accelerated timeline and bringing these things to market, and they're just undercooked and need way more time than it may be worth to invest millions of dollars in it. So your DoorDash and Uber and Lyft, they all make, let's say, for example, I'm not giving exact numbers, but let's say you get a $10 Uber ride. They're losing a dollar on that for every single ride. And that dollar is subsidized by investors.
Just donating that VC money, baby.
Yeah, it's just going straight to VC money. And it's like, how long can that last? I used to project that Uber is just really collecting all this data and then will revert to self-driving cars. Well, now it's become pretty common knowledge that self-driving cars are further off than we thought. So how much longer are VCs just going to keep pouring money into this shit?
Just make Uber rides what they cost, and then us broke boys will have to just
that's the idea.
Fall back.
No, that's the potential idea, but there's a medium between that, and that will also lead for an opportunity for the yellow cab market to come back into it. So that cutting out of the competition that have been happening and these super duper low prices have been subsidized by VCs, and the path to profit is taking way longer than anybody feels comfortable with. So we're probably going to see a lot of disruption and changes, and potentially a few companies that we all like and use bomb out over time, because I mean the money pit does eventually have a bottom at one point. And it looks like WeWork hit theirs when they tried to fly a little too close to the sun and opened up their books.
Eat the rich, DJ. Eat the rich. Hot sauce. Fuck WeWork. I don't. It's dumb.
You could be working out of a WeWork.
I'm about to. Okay, I'll tell you after the podcast.
I mean, they're not bad. Like
it's fine. It's fine. It's part of our internet monoculture. We talk about the content monoculture is over. Internet monoculture is just like flourishing, I feel like.
Yeah. The nerds won.
It's been another great Send the Link, DJ. I'm glad that you guys can listen to us once again.
Me too.
So please, invest properly. Don't listen to Kanye West. And, travel, have a good time. I hope those are the lessons you picked up from this episode.
Niggas are back.
Niggas are back. So we'll be back once again, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Did you pick that up from South Africa saying again like that? Again?
No, I said it like that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be swaggy. I'm one of those. I just pick up shit. I pick up accents. I'm good for it.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.